Sometimes what we consider a small decision can have a monumental long-term impact on your future, your family's future. So it's like anything, take some time, you know, use the tools that are out there. Put yourself in a better position so that you can feel good about the decisions you're making and confident that you're going to get a decent outcome.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, we're continuing our conversation today on college funding and college debt and picking a college. And today, it's part two of this conversation. It's about how to pick a college you can afford. And I'm looking forward to this conversation and kind of getting a better understanding from Dan Reese and Brent Oliver on how to get to that point and knowing exactly what you can afford. I think a big problem that we all face in every aspect of our life is deciding on what we can't afford and not going over that number, even though it's so tempting to spend just a little bit more on that house or that car or that TV or dinner, even, you know, whatever it is. Finding a college you can afford will be a big help down the road for your retirement and your financial success. So let me welcome in Dan and Brent today. They are certified financial planners at Avery Wealth. And if you haven't heard of our podcast before, you can find every episode online at averywealth.com. Welcome in, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, good to hear from you, Ben.
So I'm looking forward to getting into this college conversation. And this is something I guess you two work quite a bit with clients on is, and maybe not specifically college funding, but this has to be a big piece to everybody's retirement plan that has children that plan to go to college.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, anytime you're talking about this big of an expenditure, it's a key component of your overall financial planning. And, you know, obviously it affects retirement for everybody because, you know, like we said before, this game of give and take, right? So if you spend more on college, you have less money for retirement and other things. So we're excited to talk about this today.
Yeah. So if you didn't catch our last episode, you don't have to listen to it first necessarily before you listen to this one, but it's a great supplement to this conversation as well. You know, we talked about how college debt is ruining families' ability to retire on time. You know, for the parents, it's the debt's impacting their retirement savings. But then for the kids, if they take it on, you know, oftentimes they're drowning in debt and they can't even get started with their saving towards retirement. So today we're going to focus on how you can make an informed, intentional decision when picking a college so that you can avoid some of these common mistakes that families make when they send their kids off to college. And, you know, as you laid out in this last episode, Dan and Brent, this is a big issue that financially is ruining a lot of families' abilities to retire on time. So is there a way you can find and pick a school that you can actually afford?
Yeah, there really is. And that's just where a lot of people think that, well, I'm just going to have to pay a lot of money. I mean, and it's just the truth. It's just like, well, I'm in deep trouble here and it's going to cost a bunch, right? And I love the idea that you can really make a good decision here that's going to impact you positively in the long term.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I like what you said because you talked to, you know, we're at the age where we have a lot of friends with kids going to college. They're like, well, I'm going to have to maybe go from premium beer down to the cheap stuff.
That's
like,
right. Yeah,
I've got no choice. Yeah.
There's going to be some serious sacrifices that happen here in the next few years.
Right.
And so on a more serious side, I mean, this has just been a really big issue and it's been avoided, really. I mean, there just isn't a lot of education in this area. And as a firm, I mean, we just believe that, you know, we really want to help our clients and we really want to make an impact in our community to help them make great college decisions when they're sending their kids off to college.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like about just talking about it. It's funny when something seems like you can't conquer it, right? Oftentimes people just like push it aside. Well, right. I don't really want to talk about that. You know, we'll just do what we have to do to make it work as opposed to saying, hey, maybe we can be proactive like you're talking about and really make a huge difference in our lives and our kids' lives.
Yeah. And so that's why we've created a process here. We call it the Affordable College Planning Process that really helps walk people step by step through what they need to do to figure out and find schools that are going to be generous for their situation.
Yeah. Which I mean is huge, right? Because, you know, I think most people think, because I talk to people all the time about this stuff and it's like, well, does it really make any difference? You know, I did my FAFSA. Basically, they say that I can afford some number that I don't feel like I could ever afford.
Right.
And they just throw their hands up like, well, I mean, it is what it is, right? And that's kind of the attitude about it. So it's probably not, that's not true, is it, Brian?
No, it's not true. And so that's why we want, and so real quick, and we're going to talk about what each one of these are, but we feel like you need to discover you know, really where you are today. So we talked about this a little bit on the last episode, is what do colleges think you can afford versus what can you actually afford? And those are two different things. So what you can actually afford is what we would call like your college pre-approval. So, you know, like much like buying a house, we want to know how much can you really afford when they go off. And the difference between those two is a lot of times going to be the loans.
Right.
Right. And right. So, and then we want to start to look specifically and be really intentional and go after schools that are going to be the best fit for us. Right. Mm-hmm. So some are more generous with people who have financial needs. Some don't do that at all. Some, you know, or do it very little bit and then are more towards merit aid and scholarships. And so we want to try to find those particular schools. And then we just want to evaluate and execute a plan based on the information that we found. And we're going to talk quite a bit more about each one of those areas.
So when you said be intentional, it's not the school with the best basketball or football team?
Well, that could be an intentional decision.
That and seems to be a big driver for a lot of kids.
A lot of times that is, you know.
It's amazing you say that, because, you know, I went to the University of Alabama, and I went there back when football was struggling in the early 2000s. And now it's remarkable, because kids will literally just go there for football. That's it. Nothing. They have no interest really in anything else. They just want to experience that, you know, that winning that atmosphere, that big time football. And that's what they base their entire decision around. There's so many kids now that come from out of state. So they got to the point where, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, it was like 60% out of state kids because of that. And which was great for the school, because they were racking in all the money from the out of state tuition.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true. We've seen plenty of statistics on that show when, you know, schools do better in sports, they attract more kids. It's pretty incredible, but that's a reality.
Yeah, and you want that full experience. I mean, it makes sense, and I guess that's why they devote so much money to coaches and these programs and whatnot. But let's stay on track. The affordable college planning process, you guys have this in place. So let's go into this a little bit so we can help people understand how to pick a college they can afford. Let's start with that discover phase. You know, expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I think the first thing we were talking about is really understanding what the schools think you should be able to pay, right? That's that expected family contribution. And typically there's a couple ways to get it. When you do a FAFSA, you're going to get that number from them. But like Brent was saying earlier, there's other ways to get that. We've got some software you can use or some other ways to get that number ahead of time. But that's first thing you need to know. What do they think you should be able to pay each year for school? And then the second big thing, which we think is really much more important, is what can you really afford? So I think from a planning standpoint, like this is the difference between if you've ever seen those really basic retirement calculators online versus what, you know, a certified financial planner might provide for you when you're looking at retirement planning. You've got a very simple program in essence compared to a very detailed one. So when you get into the second phase of what you really can afford, it really is going to be a deep dive into all the resources you have. Have you saved money for college already? Have you know, what type of income do you have? And what's disposable? You know, how much of that money do you have left over after you pay your bills each month? You know, does your child work? Are there scholarships available? Or all different things, right? And so understanding those two things is a great starting point, and really for any planning, because we talk about that all the time. Like people say, what's a good spot to start planning? And we're like, figure out where you are today, right?
Yeah, get organized, take an inventory of all those things. Another thing Dan didn't, I mean, grandparents a lot of times pay. So that number would go in there. And so you're just like taking an inventory of everything that's available to you to pay for it. And then, all right, well, we're hoping this can be achieved in 4 years. So you kind of spread those assets out and the income out, and you arrive at basically like a college pre-approval number. All right, this is how much you can really afford to spend per year.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the grandparents, because it is shocking how many of our clients that are retired, that is one of their primary goals with their wealth, is to help grandkids with college, because they've lived long enough, they understand the impact of the cost of that school, right? So that's one of the things that they're really, you know, passionate about and helping. And I think that, again, we talked earlier about communication. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking, you know, parents. Some people might be embarrassed with that, but saying, hey, I don't expect you to pay anything, you know, to your mom and dad if you're a parent, you know, so it'd be the grandparents. But is that something that you wanted to do? Because we wanted to make sure as we work through this process that we include that if it is, right? So it's not being pushy, trying to get money out of you know, mom and dad. It's just me, just considering all resources that are available.
Yeah, that's just that. And we talked about this last time. That's just the open lines of communication and not be afraid to talk about money. you know, with your kids, with, you know, and hopefully you can have those conversations with your parents as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you've discovered the answers to these questions. You've gone through this list of things and really discovered all this information. So how do you apply this to looking for a school?
So what you want to do at this point is really, we're just trying to find schools that are going to be generous with your particular situation. And when we run these scenarios, it's amazing to look at the difference. So the same family could be in, and how much difference there is. And so what there's a couple of different ways. One, as Dan had mentioned, we have software that's available that we can use to really help you shop for schools. And so we can go in a geographic area or whatever may be the case and look for schools that are going to be most generous for your situation. You can also get that by Google net price calculator for any particular school. It'll take you to their website. Some of them are a lot better than others. Some of them really dive in and will say, this is basically what it would cost you to come to school here. And it gets into what your resources are and all that information. So there's different ways to get it, but that's kind of where you want to get to.
Yeah, I think that's super important because I think it's funny you say some are better than others. And that's the challenge that we face in a lot of areas when you're trying to do that research. You know, that's why we provide the free report that we do to families, because we know it can be a huge challenge. And we don't want you to have to spend a bunch of money or a bunch of time figuring this out, so that yourcollegereport.com will give that to you, where you can start to get that information without taking up hours upon hours of your time trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So Googling every school in the country might not be the best way to go about it. So we can help you do that. And then you're just going to get this. So if once we know what it's going to cost, like what is it going to cost us to attend that school? And then we know what our college pre-approval number is what we can actually afford, right? So if there's a difference between them, hopefully there's no difference, right? Or we have more money than we need, but that's probably not always going to be the case. But if there is, the difference between those two is going to be what you're going to have to pay out of pocket additionally, or, you know, you have to go down that ugly loan word.
And we've got some numbers. Interesting, like an example that we went through for a family talking about. It looks like, Brett, they were looking to become a teacher, right?
Yep.
And so how much of a difference could it be?
So this is not uncommon. So this is what I'm talking about when I'm saying schools that are generous with your situation. And so I'm not going to name these schools because it could
be
different.
We're going to protect the innocent.
And to be honest with you, like, just because one school is cheaper for this family, another family, that school might be the cheapest option for them.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not across the board. Oh, right. This school's expensive, don't go there.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. But in this scenario that we ran for this family, their child wanted to go into education, wanted to be a teacher. And so the software will say, all right, your estimated take-home pay in the state of Michigan for that is about $2,300 a month, right? The difference between the lowest school that they would owe a 10-year payback was $43 a month. That's pretty manageable.
Yeah, so right? Just to make sure that they understand, listeners, is what you're saying is that because you had to fill those gaps with loans and different things, you know, how much loans, what did you have to take in loans to fill those gaps at that school, particular school, and then what would that payment equate to once you graduated? And that was on a 10-year payout,
right? So they owed about just under $4,000 when they got done.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
hopefully awesome. They don't push that out over 10 years. Hopefully they just get rid of it. But if they did stretch it out over 10 years, they would owe $43 a month. The other school, they owed $81,000, right? 20 times more. And their loan payment for 10 years was $907, making $2,300.
Wow.
Yeah. So you see how that totally, you know, we talked about that earlier, but it totally ruins someone's future.
Yeah.
I mean, unless something crazy happens, you know, win a lottery, marry someone that's, you know, got a ton of savings that can help you pay that off. I mean, it's just really putting you in a bad spot. And so you went to school as an investment to create a better future. And is that a better future?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's pretty tough.
Right. And so then it's on somebody, as we talk about, maybe they want the football experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, how bad do you want that experience? Because you're going to be paying for it for the next decade of your life, right?
I just checked Best Buy the other day. We had to get a new TV. And you can get an HD. Matter of fact, you get the whole surround sound and everything, probably for $1,000. let's see, $80,000
or $4,000. I mean, I just think it's, when you start seeing these real life scenarios, it's just, it's incredible really to look at. And I would tell you this, most people would have no idea that they were making that type of a decision.
Right. No, I agree 100%. But this is a lot of things. Like, I mean, it goes back to with finances. Like, there's so many decisions we make through life. And that's why it's always good to have an advocate on your side helping you with some financial decisions that we don't really understand the impact of. And sometimes what we consider a small decision can have a monumental long-term impact on your future, your family's future. So it's like anything, take some time, you know, use the tools that are out there. Put yourself in a better position so that you can feel good about the decisions you're making and confident that you're going to get a decent outcome if you go down that road.
Right. And I love that, because that's why we, this second step, right, this being intentional, this doesn't just go for college, right? I mean, how often do you see somebody who's really intentional about saving for retirement fail? They don't.
Rarely.
They don't, yeah. Right? And so when you are intentional, whether it's a career decision or a path that you want to go down, and you're really intentional and structured and disciplined and stay on that path, you're most of the time going to win.
Yeah, and even if you run into some bad times, for whatever reason, people that have that approach get through it.
Yeah.
Right? In a positive way. And that's the thing is that you might not get the perfect outcome, like this example where somebody was at $43 a month, but hey, what if you cut it in half?
Right.
What if you cut? I mean, there's all kinds of examples where you're just so much better off than you'd be otherwise by just doing a little bit of planning and being intentional.
Yeah, and we see that all the time too, where we run the scenario out and maybe somebody's pre-approved, maybe they don't have to take any loans, right? Well, this school would cost you nothing other than what you have available to you, than what you have budgeted. But this one, you know, you're going to pay $500 a month when you get out, right? So this isn't an extreme example, is the
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me, we're talking about, you know, sports and college sports. It reminds me of like when they flash up one of those blind resumes when they're trying to pick a team into the tournament or the playoff. Like,
yeah.
Do you want this school that's $907 a month or this school that's 43? Without seeing the brand, you're like, oh, well, that's a no-brainer. But then you see the name on the chest or the jersey, and it's like, well, it's a different story. But you know, when you think it out like that, it seems so obvious.
That is a great example. That every year they do that during the NCAA, the bubble talk, right? They always do
exactly.
That. And everybody's like, well, that clearly is a better team. And then they show, oh, no, they're not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the jersey I expected.
Right? And I know these two schools, and there's no brand difference. There's no brand difference.
Yeah, in this example.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's amazing. All right, so we've gone through the first two steps of that process. We get to this last step, which is the evaluate and execute step. So how do you take that final step? What was the next, I guess, process for you?
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of things when it comes to finances is now that you've gone through that, you know, the initial step, figuring out what you can afford and what they think you can, then getting some, you know, looking at different schools and what the outcomes would be by picking those. Then you're going to get some real offers when you apply, right?
Yeah.
Now you got to evaluate. So you need to evaluate what's come back to you. And so, you know, in looking at those things, and sometimes what's the biggest mistake people make, Brent, where they think, oh, that's what it is?
Well, they don't think there's any room for negotiation for one thing in there. And so in there oftentimes is. So this is a buyer's market, and no one treats it this way, but a lot of schools are not filling their, you know,
their
freshman
quota,
class,
right? Yeah,
their quota.
Not, right.
And so there are opportunities to do that. And so when you get these offers, you want to make sure that you understand everything on it. Because we talked about that on the last show, 137 different ways that schools will say the word loan without saying the word loan on your offer sheet. And so that's where, you know, people get into trouble where they're like, yeah, that looks good. So I don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
Right. And then, oh, wait, I owe $60,000 when they get out. So you want to make sure that you understand what you're signing up for.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. So I have a friend that works, just happens to be where my son's going to Western Michigan. He works over there in the financial aid office. And he will tell you every single year after kids graduate, they come in because they're like, well, I don't owe this much. They honestly don't. They didn't realize they were signing loans. And so he'll have to go through, yep, these are all loans that you owe. And I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
And so like that part of that evaluation is understanding what is that offer exactly that you're getting.
Yeah, because that, I mean, a loan isn't an offer.
No.
I mean, give me a break. That's not like they're doing you a favor, you know, but that's how it's positioned. It's like, you know, if you look at a lot of these offer sheets, it'll say, you know, all the different things that are that you're going to qualify. Maybe you have a merit scholarship or some financial aid, and those will be listed on there. And then hopefully it says the word loan will be on there as well, but it might say like student credit.
Right.
Right. $5,500. Oh, wow. And then at the end, out of pocket, zero. Wow. I'm getting a full ride.
Yeah. You're looking at it like, look how hard they worked to fill in all those gaps I had to pay for it. I'm all set.
They really want me.
Right.
So, yeah, I think, I mean, that's where it comes down to is making sure that you have evaluated, understand if there's loans involved, what are those loans? How much is it going to cost you to repay those? Make sure you understand those, and then use those offers. If you have more than one, use them against each other. You know, call the financial aid office. This school's doing this. How, you know, why is it different here? Ask questions. You know, ask them to reevaluate. There a lot of times you can find additional resources.
Yeah, what's interesting is that for some reason people a lot of times are afraid to make that phone call. There's no negative. There's no downside. Right. So what are they? All they can say is what?
No.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Well, it definitely changed. This process definitely changed from even when I was applying for college, where it was like, okay, which schools do you want to go to? All right, pick those out. Let's apply to them, and let's keep our fingers crossed that we get accepted, and we'll figure it out from there. Yeah, this is a lot more detailed, and it makes a lot more sense for the long term. So is it actually difficult to implement, though?
I mean, I think it really doesn't take that much time to implement. Do you think, Brett?
No. This is a pretty really, well, if you go back a few years, this would be really tough, right? Because you'd be having to look up all these different schools and all that. But with the resources that we have, and you can start this process at yourcollegereport.com, and we'll give you basically like the discovery process. And then after you get that report where you learn what you what colleges think you can pay and what you can actually pay, then we can have a 15-minute phone call and review that and kind of help you determine, you know, how to proceed from there. And then we have software that helps you shop for schools. It actually gives you all the information you need to be able to apply to a school and the deadlines that go with that and what's needed at this school versus that school. So if there's an essay or if you need the, you know, what the FAFSA deadlines and all those types of things are.
Yeah, it's funny what you say, like a few years ago, like it's incredible what the data we have today.
Yeah.
And it's in a lot of areas of life. I mean, even like you talk to doctors, how much better they can treat things because of all the data of, you know, people with similar conditions and all these resources they have. This is no different. I mean, it really isn't.
No.
So we've got a way to filter through all the minutia, if you will, and say, okay, my daughter wants to be a physician's assistant, whatever it might be. And these are kind of the area she wants to stay in. So that's the thing. A lot of kids know they want to be in, like we're in Michigan, obviously, mid-Michigan, right? They want to stay within 2 hours away or 3 hours away. Well, let's look at what's out there, right? And we can easily get those answers with all the data and technology that's available today with really in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. So you put in, you know, your FAFSA information, you put in, you know, so we have a financial profile, then you put in an academic profile for your student, and then you can say, all right, well, I want to know every school that has engineering that's within 200 miles of my location, and I want to know which one has is going to cost me the least amount of money, which one the funding gap is going to be the least on, and it spits it all out. So you have all that information available to you. And then if loans are needed, you can see all that information that we talked about. What's the starting pay? What's the expected repayment going to be? And so it's a pretty simple process to go through. And the reward of going through it, I think, is significant.
Well, and I'm going to mention one thing because I just went through this. Brent's already been through it because he's got a son that graduated already from college, but he's so much older than me is why. the reality is that you really want to be proactive and do this first. Do this first before you even go visit schools, because one of the things that you'll know, and this is kind of like the house thing. I'm going to go back to that example. Yeah. Like when you go see a house and you fall in love with it and then you realize maybe that's not a good fit, you might go make a really bad financial decision to get that, right? with colleges, if you know, hey, here's five schools that all are going to be a good deal for my family, go look at those five schools, you know, because like no matter where you go to college, you're going to make great relationships. It's going to more than likely be an awesome experience. But, you know, if you are going to visit ones that you know is a good fit, you're way ahead of the game because then you're not going to necessarily like fall in love with that school that really isn't a great fit for you.
Yeah, that is a fantastic point because, I mean, we as people who buy houses, they're usually adults. I mean, you enter an 18-year-old in that is emotional about something because they visited there. They, you know, maybe they've been accepted to their what they think is their dream school, and it's going to be really tough to say no. So I totally agree. I mean, doing these steps ahead of time, knowing the schools that you can afford, and then going after those schools and visiting and applying is the way to go.
Yeah.
So visit yourcollegereport.com and you can get started and take advantage of that data that will help you make this decision. So we went through quite a bit on how to figure out what kind of college you can afford. Let's go ahead and recap those steps once again so we can help these people make and help every listener make a great college choice.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, it's really three key steps to really have a lot of success. And like we started out with, first of all, just figure out where you're at. I mean, that's the number one thing. How much do schools think you can afford, and what's a real number that, you know, we call our pre-approval number for college, for your family? Second thing is be really intentional about looking at schools that are a good fit for you so that you're not running into a situation like we just talked about where you're falling in love with a school that really is going to cost you way more than other opportunities that are available for you. So that's super important. Then lastly, really be good about evaluating those offers and really going through, you know, so this school sent me this offer. Is it good or bad, or how many loans are there as part of that? What does that mean on the back end for what I'm going to look like once I graduate? Understand that you can go out and you can talk to some of these schools about, like you were saying, hey, school A offered me this. I'd really like to go here. Can you match that? Or can you do some of those things like that? All they can do is say no. But, you know, going through those really systematic steps, putting yourself in a lot better position to have success. I mean, the payoff's enormous, not only for mom and dad, but also for the child. You know, so long term, you can all be in a much better spot. You can all, you know, fulfill your retirement goals, hopefully still without, you know, too much pain. And overall, it's just a much better outcome for everyone.
Well, two great ways to get started, yourcollegereport.com, or you can visit averywealth.com as well. Get in touch with Dan and Brent. Let them help you through this process. You know, get the college report thing started, then sit down with them and start planning it out and be intentional about this whole process. And I think that's such a great way to put it. Be intentional with your decisions really throughout life, but here can really save you a lot of headache, a lot of debt, and really, really put you in good position for retirement. Much better than a lot of other people that are dealing with this across the country without a plan. So very good conversation indeed. And let me remind you, we'll have this podcast plus last week's, which was part one in this college conversation, and every podcast we do online at everywealth.com. You can get it there. It'll be archived, but also subscribe to the podcast as well. We would appreciate that. The next one will be coming out in a couple weeks, and we'll have that delivered right to you if you subscribe. So Dan and Brent, a great conversation, and I think one that everybody is hyper-focused on right now and really sensitive to, so hopefully this will be a help to them.
Yeah, we hope so too.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.